Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. The United States Forest Service manages nearly 200 million acres nationwide, 17 million of which are in Montana. The state of Montana also manages timber on about 500,000 acres of state school trust lands, given to Montana in the 19th century by the federal government. And the state provides fire protection on an additional 5 million acres. Historically, there's not been a great deal of collaborative management between the two. They operate under very different legal mandates. Everybody's busy. And perhaps in part for reasons of turf. More than once I've heard people say, "We do things the right way. They could learn from us." That may be changing. In 2014, the Forest Service in the state of Montana entered into a cooperative stewardship agreement, a first of its kind in the nation. Here to discuss it are Fay Krueger, Regional Forester for Region 1, which includes all of Montana, Bill Avey, Helena and Lewis and Clark National Forest Supervisor, and Bob Harrington, Montana's State Forester, who works for Montana's Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. Many thanks to you all for joining us on Home Ground. Fay Krueger, let's start with you. First, it's good to have you back on Home Ground.
Thanks, Brian.
You've held this position since May of 2012 and have instituted some significant changes. Why?
Well, when I got here in 2012, I went around and did some meet and greets. And one of the meetings I had was with a prior governor in 2012 in the summer, and we were getting ready for our fire season and our work with the state. And during that hour meeting, he impressed upon me how the Forest Service was not a good partner with the state. In fact, he had a lot of issues with us and the way we did our business. And so I took what he said to heart. And later on that day, I met with someone who was running for office to be governor, and his name was Steve Bullock. And I talked to him and I said, "If you get in office, I'd like to figure out how to work together with the Forest Service." And so in January of 2013, when he came into the office, he remembered that discussion. And so he had John Tubbs get together with us.
John Tubbs being the head of DNRC?
Yes. And Bob Harrington, state forester. And we got together in his office and did some pre-work and said, "What can we do to be working together?" We did put on our thinking caps and come up with some ideas, and we talked about what would a stewardship agreement look like in the state of Montana. And the governor was very willing to explore that with us, as was Bob and John. And we talked about what kind of authorities we have in the Forest Service, and as you mentioned, different rules and regulations we work under, and we all have the same goal, and that is we want resilient, healthy forests in the state of Montana. So how do we work together with the state forester of Montana and the regional forester and also the forester on the Helena and Lewis and Clark? So what was happening at the same time is we had a lot of opportunity to be working in the Helena area, and the city of Helena was very interested in getting some work done around the city of Helena to improve watershed conditions, and that was our backyard. So that started a conversation and a location to where to explore working together.
That's highly interesting, but it raises a question. The previous governor you spoke to is not the first one who would have said, "We got problems working with the Forest Service." It's been said before, and I'm sure it's been said in the other way. For some reason, you decided to do something about it. Why?
Because I think if we work together, we can make things happen. And so I want to share with you, I believe, in the last year, having signed that stewardship agreement, that things have happened.
We're going to talk about that in some detail. Before we do discuss what's happened, I want to get Bob Harrington's view. Bob, how long have you been state forester?
12 years.
Okay. You've seen a lot of things. Did the initiative surprise you when you first heard about it? What was your professional reaction?
Well, I've been working for close to those 12 years just to try to reinforce what the state's interests were in management of national forests in Montana. And we've been trying a lot of different things to engage on a project-by-project basis. Had a forest policy specialist that engaged. But really, a lot of our efforts were simply waiting for the right leadership to be in place. And with Governor Bullock in place, with Director Tubbs, And with Faye Krueger coming in, what I think we found was the right mixture of leadership that made this whole initiative possible. And the Forest and Folks Initiative is reflective of the governor's priority in making this happen, as well as capitalizing on a lot of the work that we've done over the years that led to this point.
Let me just see if I heard that right. Forest in Focus Initiative is the name of this collaborative stewardship agreement?
The Forest in Focus Initiative is really reflective of the governor's priorities related to national forest management, state-private forest management, as well as collaboration, and the retention of the forest industry in the state of Montana. So it's broader than just this particular agreement that we're talking about.
Okay.
Right now.
Someone might say, what business or interest does the state of Montana have in how the U.S. government, through the Forest Service, manages its forests? It's been doing it for 100-plus years.
A lot of our municipal watersheds originate on national forest lands. The fire risk to our communities is dependent upon the condition of the fuels on those lands, as well as the economies of a lot of our rural communities is dependent on what happens on those lands.
Back to you, Faye. Can you summarize for me what is the nature of this pioneering agreement that you've entered into with the state?
The goals of this agreement are throughout the state of Montana to look at opportunities where we can work together. And then we get further into additional instruments to figure out how we're exactly going to do it. But the agreement is basically a good faith effort that we're going to be working together to get work done on the ground in the state of Montana.
Okay, to me as a layman, it sounds like it's, and this is quite different than I think historically, it's like saying we got an open door, we're going to be looking for common, mutually beneficial opportunities. Fair?
It's fair, and prioritize together where we want to work together in Montana and make investments.
Bill Avey, you're responsible, as I understand it, for the first tangible project under this umbrella agreement?
Yes, we have a sub-agreement, if you will, a partnership with the DNRC on our Red Mountain Chessman Flume project, which is protecting the conveyance system of the water system of the city of Helena.
Okay, but maybe you could help us understand, what does that project look like?
The Red Mountain Flume itself basically takes water from the 10-mile drainage into Chessman Reservoir above the city of Helena, and the city of Helena then uses that water for drinking water. If that water system were to go down, the city would have to use Missouri River water at a much greater cost and also not be able to service all segments of the city. And really what we're trying to do is it's about a 500-acre project, more or less, around fuels reduction to that flume, which is a ditch and a actual above-ground flume, and the reservoir itself, to, in the event of a fire, to reduce the impacts of that fire to those two structures.
Okay, someone might say 500 acres, very small project. Why do you reach out to the state of Montana for a project like that?
Because it's an incredibly important project, first of all. The main emphasis, again, is protecting that critical infrastructure. But the other thing is it was a great opportunity for learning, and we've learned a lot with this project.
What do you mean specifically? In other words, again, keeping timber away from a flume is not complicated from a civicultural standpoint. So I'm assuming you're talking about what you learned had to do with working with each other. Is that fair?
Yes, exactly. That's a piece of it, but keeping timber away from the flume is a little more complicated than it might seem on the surface.
Okay.
Because we are operating in a mountainous terrain, and with slopes, and how you actually physically remove that timber, get that out without exacerbating a situation by having high fuel loadings adjacent to it, takes quite a bit of doing. You know, with any project, you learn, you go through, and when you're working with a partner in the first partnership, you learn better how to work together.
There's another aspect to this story, and that is, unbeknownst to us when we signed that agreement, a few months later we had the opportunity to compete for additional money that the region would not have otherwise received.
Compete at the national level for money?
At the national level for money. And working with the state and the city of Helena and the forest, we were able to compete and get $880,000 for this project to do work. And NRCS was also part of this. And so that stewardship agreement is already the start of good competition nationally to get additional funding into this region to do priority work.
Let me suggest something else and see if I'm misunderstanding you. The fact that you got that money from the national office suggests the national office is encouraging this sort of collaboration and rewarding it tangibly, fair?
Absolutely.
You're listening to Homeground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking about a pioneering agreement between the United States Forest Service and the state of Montana. Bob Harrington for the state again. What's your experience like? Bill was saying there's a mutual learning going on. These are different organizations with different culture, professional pride. What's the state learning? What's the state teaching so far? What's the relationship like?
Well, I think, first of all, we're asking our employees collectively to stretch. We're asking them to share their perspectives and to really create a partnership to implement this project and to check their maybe their past, to check their histories at the door.
Not such an easy thing psychologically, would you say?
It's not an easy thing on either side.
Right. People are proud, professionals, used to doing things their way.
There's a lot of pride of ownership on the Helena National Forest. They brought this project forward. And with our employees, there's a lot of curiosity as to how are we making a difference. And so we've asked them to come together. And I'm really proud of the folks on both sides that have shared this vision of working together and not really having to have all the answers to go ahead and start on this partnership, and most of all, to trust each other.
There's another issue that's raised by some people in the environmental community, which is concern in the context of the present national and Montana debate about devolution of federal authority, transfer of federal lands to state authority, various levels of shifting. And the concern might be expressed as you're responsible for a series of federal laws, Endangered Species Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, National Forest Management Act, all which have serious environmental implications. And the concern might be stated, are we going to see a weakening of application of those laws?
Great question, Brian, and absolutely not. We cannot get out of meeting, nor do we ever want to get out of meeting any of our laws and rules and regulations that we have. So we're not negating any of that. What we're looking at in the process standpoint, we're a very bureaucratic agency. What kind of process glitches can we get through? How can we transition into implementing in an easier way? So we're going to follow all of our laws on National Forest System lands. The state's going to meet all their state requirements. This is how do we implement easier? How do we create capacity? What's out there that we haven't discovered that in working together could help us get more work done on the ground? And so we're seeing that in this project as well. We've been able to get more work done.
Avoiding or expediting bureaucratic glitches. Bill, what does that mean in the real world to you as a guy charged with implementing these projects?
Well, one of the things that we've worked through in setting up the agreement is that those agreements were actually developed for use with non-governmental organizations or corporations or non-other governmental agencies. And so we've had to do some work to make it fit because we are working with a state partner, not a contractor, not another organization. So, you know, sometimes just some of the language as you work through the agreement, what does that mean and how do you make it fit in this groundbreaking circumstances is a lot of what we've worked through.
Let me see if I understand, because when you deal with a corporate partner or contractor in working on a project, part of the responsibility you have is monitoring for compliance of what you say needs to be done. Is that fair, Bill?
That's fair.
Okay, well, you're dealing with the state. Is that a different relationship?
It's a partnership.
So is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And what I was trying to get to was that the basis of the agreements that we've used in the past don't reflect that partnership. They're more of a contractual agreement. And so as you walk through that, how do you change that language and develop that common understanding to operate as a partnership?
Bob, you look like you want to add something to this. And I was going to ask you how this is working as you see it.
Well, I think as a part of this partnership, in short, the state's putting their foresters where their mouth is. And by that I mean we are committing people on the ground to help implement this project. But it also really enabled us to intervene when this project was challenged in court. And there was a legal motion for an injunction. And the state, working with the city and with several other partners, filed an amicus brief in the court and actually wrote a lot of background language for the judge to consider as to why this project needed to go forward. And we prevailed, and that's very important to understand.
Litigation is a reality in the regions. It has a long history. Litigation specifically on Forest Service projects. Is it your view from the state standpoint that being in this partnership agreement and giving you standing to file amicus briefs changes the playing field? Is that what you're saying?
I think it does. I think it starts to bring a more balanced perspective into that courtroom so that the judge can truly understand that there are a lot of people, a lot of entities supporting these projects, and there is a broader interest in seeing them implemented.
Than just Forest Service versus plaintiff.
That's correct.
I just want to add that it's one thing for the Forest Service to go into court and say there's a critical need, but when you have four voices in court with you, saying there's a critical need out there in that landscape, that really changes the game.
Bill, you look like you want to add something.
Yeah, I would say that the other thing this has done is re-energized the collaborative and the partnership with the city and county in treating the forest for resiliency around Helena.
When you say the collaborative, you're talking about the city or you're talking about that citizen group that came up with the initial recommendations?
That citizen group that came up with the initial recommendation. The Red Mountain Chessmen project that we're working on now is one of those original recommendations, and from discussing it with them, they're heartened to see us moving forward with it.
I should let our listeners know, by way of disclosure, that I was asked by the city of Helena to facilitate that citizen group, and I appreciate you raising the issue because a lot of time passed after the citizens came up with their recommendations. It was a very diverse group, ranging from a representative of the Alliance for the Wild Rockies and the Montana Wilderness Association to firefighters groups, technical people, foresters. And you're saying that now, because the project's moving forward, citizen interest is resurgent or more active? What are we saying?
Yeah, I would say it's citizen interest is more active. And I also think people see the results of their efforts when they come together and spend the time in a collaborative work. And we're working with the city and a collaborative that the city has chartered, kind of restarting that collaborative, if you will, to look at a larger project involving the larger 10-mile watershed.
Because the original citizen recommendations were for larger landscape.
That's exactly right.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We are talking about a pioneering collaborative stewardship agreement between the United States Forest Service and the state of Montana. Bob Harrington, during this time that the agreement was underway or being negotiated, the Farm Bill passed United States Congress, and the governor took a strong position in response to the Farm Bill. Can you summarize that and any relationship that may have to this process we're talking about?
Well, I think the Farm Bill is reflective of Congress's intent on three different levels. One is they very clearly wanted to see the governors and the states engage with the Forest Service on trying to identify where they believed projects should be implemented. And it really reinforced the role of the states and of governors in particular in forming that partnership that's reflective in what we talked about here. The second thing is that they really wanted to reinforce the role of collaboration, and they wanted to reward good collaboration around projects and to see those projects implemented. And where that occurred, they wanted to see some efficiencies so that the projects would move forward in a timely manner and that we could increase the amount of restoration that we see on national forests.
Let's talk about the first of those, getting governors more involved with the Forest Service. You've been around a while. What was the impact of the Farm Bill on this administration?
Governor Bullock was very genuine in his desire to be part of the solution. And he wanted to do whatever he could to provide a long-term set of tools and provide the flexibility for us to move this ball forward. But he wanted to be specific. He wanted to engage where projects could get completed. And he was very clear about that. And so by designating nearly 5 million acres under the Farm Bill, he provided that flexibility. And now he's going forward with providing the assistance to us on Chessmen. And he's also recently made $1 million available for us to directly invest in projects that are proposed by the Forest Service.
You're saying the governor has allocated $1 million to be utilized to facilitate Forest Service projects?
That's correct. And at this point in time, we don't know where that's going to go. It's very much like when we started on Chessmen. We didn't know exactly how it was going to work, but based on this trust between the state and the Forest Service, we're going to solicit proposals from the individual national forest that meet some criteria, and we're going to make those investments and see what we learn along that path as well.
Can you put some specifics on that? For example, these are projects that have to respond to certain standards or goals. What are we talking about in tangible terms?
There are several criteria that we've put in the communication to the region, and some of those are that we want to see forest restoration projects on a meaningful scale. We want to see projects that do really good watershed restoration, wildlife habitat improvement, as well as to produce commercial timber products that the forest industry can use. We also want to see projects that occur within the priority landscapes under the Farm Bill designations. And we want to see projects that are planned collaboratively and preferably are utilizing some of these authorities from the Farm Bill.
I was at a meeting not too long ago where the governor announced that he had hired someone to work specifically on what I will call community-based collaboration.
That's correct. On October 20th, we had a meeting with representatives of the collaboratives, and we announced that we hired an individual to be a liaison that worked for the state but was placed in the regional office to help spearhead a lot of this partnership effort.
You say paid for the state but placed in the regional office, so that's a state employee that's working here where we're recording this show.
That's correct.
As someone that's watched the Forest Service and the state for a while, I'd say that sounds to me new.
It's very new within Montana. It's not new nationally. The state of Oregon has had an employee in the regional office for a few years now, and so it's really replicating a lot of the success that they've seen in Oregon.
Bill Avey, let me ask you this. A governor of a state says we're going to put up $1 million, we're going to solicit proposals for partnership based on the criteria that Bob has just outlined. What's your reaction? You've been around for a while.
Very heartened. It's obviously genuine. It's obviously a case that the governor really believes in good forest management and is doing everything he can to help us do that.
What this means to me is the Forest Service we need to produce. When anybody is investing in us, they have an expectation that they are going to get something out of it. And so for me, it's important that we cross that finish line as partners. So we need to produce in the Forest Service as well.
Faye Krueger, let me ask you this. $1 million from the state of Montana does not just come out of the blue. How did this come into your window?
Well, in January of 2014, the governor asked me to come in and meet with him, and he had been thinking over the Christmas New Year holiday, and one of his priorities was healthy forest, and he asked, how can he help us get more of our work done? And so we got together with our forest supervisors in the state. We said, here's what we could do. Here's how we could help push some of our final work through the processes. And so he said, hey, I want to help you. And so that's how the $1 million came to be.
Faye just said money helps push the process through. What does that mean in nuts and bolts terms that I can understand, Bill?
That means getting the project done on the ground. That pays for getting the stands marked.
You mean actually people walking out marking trees?
Marking the trees with paint, right. What stays and what goes. That pays for actually taking the trees down and getting that fuel off the landscape. I mean, it's that kind of concrete work is part of what that could pay for. Furthermore, that could pay for general restoration work like weed spraying, culvert replacement, or fish passage on these kind of project areas. And then it can also even pay for things like additional wildlife biologist or fisheries biologist capacity to help us make wise decisions.
So let me just see if I get that. In terms of any of these timber management projects, the biological opinions are central to your analysis. And if this enhances your capacity, it can improve potentially the analysis and also the speed in which it's done. Is that an overstatement?
No, that is not. I think you hit the nail right on the head.
Now, all this is taking place, as somebody here mentioned, in the context of the passage of the Farm Bill. Is the Farm Bill part of this in terms of framing up how you approach the use of these resources, or in any other way relevant to this developing partnership?
For us, the Farm Bill was a gift. That dropped in our lap this spring, and because we had the relationships in place, because we were working together, we could take that Farm Bill, and Bob and our team here did a great job with the governor of identifying where we wanted to go after our work. We've got some opportunities to streamline how we get that work done. And so in my mind, the Farm Bill just fit right in and nestles into what we're doing perfectly.
Bob?
So the other thing I think this partnership helped with relative to the Farm Bill is that we were so prepared for this that it has now allowed Faye and her staff to provide guidance out to the forest and to provide some really effective tools that not only are working very effectively in this region, but now are being used nationally. So Region 1 is now being looked upon as a leader nationally in implementation of the Farm Bill, and I think that's really important.
Faye, Bob's saying Region 1 is in the front nationally. Is that an exaggeration? Is that true? How does that sound to you?
We have great folks, and they have provided the leadership that we need and have done a great job. They provided templates that are used nationally and thinking through of how to apply the Farm Bill. So I would agree with Bob 100%. And one of the things Bob mentioned was the right leadership being in place earlier on. What we're trying to do here in 5 years is to transcend who's sitting in what seat. Whoever the governor is, I want this to be our way of doing business in the northern region. Whoever the regional forester is, whoever the forest supervisor is on any forest in the state of Montana, whoever's on a collaborative, this is how we're working together. And that's what I want to see at the end of the day.
Bob Harrington, final thoughts?
I think what this really demonstrates is the power of trust, the power of people working together. And I think the public expects local, state, and federal government to work together. And I think that's really what this is about. It's not necessarily about the $1 million. It's not solely about the Chessman Flume Project. It's about the power of trust and people working across boundaries and forcing each other to stretch and not really worrying about having all the answers to the questions before you go forward. And if we do that, if we continue working like we have in the past year or year and a half, then I think the sky's the limit as to what we can see to really show that Montana is a center of innovation and creativity relative to forest management to address some of these issues that we've been living with for far too long.
Bill Avey, Faye Krueger, Bob Harrington, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. We'll